Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series that we do with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is called Top 3 Verses. And, you know, ordinarily, it's not the heaviest lifting, no offense to Brian, it's not the heaviest lifting in the world, because if you go looking for most teachings of Holy Scripture, you're going to find them fairly easily. There are the exceptions, like the descent into hell. You're going to find a few verses there. Most, you're going to find a lot of verses. But on the other side of that problem really is, what do you do when you're trying to narrow it down to the top three verses and the doctrine that you're talking about is, well, on almost every page of the Bible, if you know that it's there and you realize that in this case, the God that we worship is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always has been, always will be. That's what Christians confessed, Old Testament, New Testament. You should expect to find, since the book is kind of about that God, you should expect to find the Trinity everywhere in Holy Scripture. How do you narrow it down? Joining us for our series Top 3 Verses today, the Trinity, coming off of Trinity Sunday. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and he hosts a video series called Grappling with the Text. That's a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
So how do you do it when the doctrine of the Trinity is everywhere in the Bible? Because, of course, the triune God is everywhere in the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, this could be broken up in a lot of different ways. I was thinking about something like the doctrine of the Trinity in the Old Testament. You could do the doctrine of Trinity in Isaiah. You could do the conversations of the Father and the Son in the Psalms. When Luther goes to give his proof text for the doctrine of the Trinity, three persons, one God, he quotes Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I think when he does that, I think, in fact, he's not just referring to Genesis 1:1, but he's just referring to the Bible. our proof text is the Scripture. One time I made it a little kind of experiment to mark the particularly Trinitarian passages and have one particularly Trinitarian passage on every single page of the Bible. So I was looking at the Bible as just as in page units, so not by chapter or anything, but just by page, and I wanted to have the clearest expression of the doctrine of the Trinity on each page, and you can do it. It's there. I mean, it's woven throughout the entirety of the Scriptures. So you're right. It could be it is right to understand the entirety of the Holy Scriptures to be a confession, not only of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the conversation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the counsel of God that the prophets and apostles are making known to us, and the work of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we see in creation, and then especially the story of redemption and sanctification, that is the account, the history of the Scriptures, is the work of God. There's no way to make it easy. So the way that I picked it was just by going to the Catechism and seeing what first three verses they used, and we'll look at those. There's some great kind of continuity between the three verses, but in all three of the verses that we'll look at, the three distinct persons of the Holy Trinity are all mentioned. So that was the criteria that narrowed this down.
Well, and it does point out just a good principle that we should probably briefly mention here, which applies to the whole series that we do with you, and that is, while there are many passages that may talk about any given doctrine, there are good starting places, or just to put it quite frankly, there are passages that are better to begin with than others. Sometimes you begin with a passage that is not really kind of the seat of doctrine. You can go wrong on a particular teaching.
Yeah, that's that idea. That that word, that phrase that you use, the seat of doctrine, the old Lutherans called it the sedes doctrinae, where we look first to get our teaching. And it's an important thing that, you know, we don't want to be proof texting, so we certainly don't want to be pulling the scriptures that we look at out of context. But when we assert the clarity of scripture, that the Holy Spirit speaks with a clear voice through the prophets and the apostles, then what that means is that we can find texts that clearly articulate a particular doctrine. And the idea, of the top three verses is to say that when we begin to study these things, when we begin to talk about them, when we begin to teach them to our children, when we begin to meditate on them, and when we look for verses to memorize for our own edification, when we get in debates with people who, for one reason or another, reject the doctrine of the Scriptures, that these would be the places that we start, that we begin our exploration of the doctrine of the Holy Scriptures.
The first passage that you have for us is probably in some people's minds not the most likely place to begin, the baptism of Jesus in Matthew's account.
Yeah, it's really kind of a wonderful text, the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is there. He's 30 years old. He goes down to his cousin, John the Baptist, in the Jordan River. John's been baptizing for the repentance, for the forgiveness of sins, and Jesus goes down to be baptized by John, and John at first refuses to baptize Jesus, and Jesus gives it's a little bit of a riddle. He says, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And we can maybe talk about that if that's of interest to you. But the money verse is the next two verses, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, which says this: "When he, Jesus, had been baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, this is a beautiful account which shows us all three persons of the Holy Trinity, or at least we get to hear from all three persons. We have Jesus, who's standing there in the water, the Holy Spirit, who's descending upon him, the oil of gladness above all of his fellows, anointing him for his office of Messiah, and God the Father, who speaks with this clear voice from the heavens, speaking of Jesus, "This is my Son," speaking of him being well pleased with Jesus, and indicating that that Jesus is going to be the one who would fulfill the Father's will.
So we don't just have someone talking about the Trinity or explicating the Trinity. We have all three persons of the Trinity on stage.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And that's really how we see it all throughout the Scriptures. So it's going to be very few passages. I mean, there are passages which will reflect upon the nature of God, that'll do the kind of theology proper, talking about the person of God, the essence of God, and so forth. I mean, Isaiah does a lot of that. John does some. But the Bible, in this case, is simply going to show us this great mystery, God in three persons, the Blessed Trinity. And here we have them all seen. One of the most common ways to confuse the doctrine of the Trinity in the history of the Church, the kind of most common heresy, is something called modalism. That'll say that God appears as a Father, and then he takes the mode of the Father, and then of the Son, and then of the Holy Spirit. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are successive kind of ways that the single God manifests himself to us, and this text beautifully speaks against that, because you see all three right in the same place. Jesus is there, the Spirit is there, and the Father is there speaking.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll go on to another passage that is one of the top three passages for the doctrine of the Trinity with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Pastor Wolfmiller hosts a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. And when we come back, we'll be looking at the other end of Matthew's gospel, also another baptism passage. This time it's the baptism of all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I suspect those two baptisms are intimately related. We'll find out right after this.
Hey, Todd, What have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
What would you say if someone asked you to explain the Trinity? Would you begin with Scripture, the creeds, or some clever analogy? And how are Christ and the gospel at the center of this fundamental Christian teaching? Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Beckwith has written a new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series. It's titled The Holy Trinity. You can save $5 by pre-ordering The Holy Trinity at logia.org, L-O-G-I-A.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series, Top Three Verses. We're dealing with the Trinity. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He is creator of Around the Word. Brian, tell us a little bit about these Bible studies, Around the Word.
Yeah, we have Around the Word has a blog, but the main thing we're doing over there is producing a weekly devotion and a weekly Bible study, which we mail out. Eric Anderson, a regular guest, helps work on these, and we're starting a new series for this summer where we're actually simply taking some passages from our Lutheran confessions, especially the Formula of Concord, and turning them into easy-to-use Bible studies for your home or Bible study class or whatever you have for Bible studies. And we just finished a we're in the middle, I suppose, of sending them out, a three-part study on original sin and human nature, and then we'll have something like a seven-part series on free will. And so it's a really kind of easy, bite-sized way to get into the theology of our Book of Concord and the Scriptures at the same time. And people can have those, they could download them off the website, whatdoesthismean.org, and there's also a little spot where you can sign up and get those emailed to you every week.
You'll find a link to Around the Word Bible Studies under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, the next verse is at the other end of Matthew's gospel, again a baptism passage. This one is Jesus' command to baptize all nations.
Yeah, we've talked about this passage before. There's so many doctrines that are contained in this passage. It's kind of upsetting to see how it's normally used. I mean, this is some of the richest words of the Scripture, and to hear most people talk about them, it's like the only word that Jesus said here is go. That's when Jesus stands up and says, go, and then ascends into heaven. But he says so many things in these few verses. Go, therefore, I'm in Matthew 28:19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or treasure all the things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Again, there's so much here in the text, but the thing for us is this phrase, which is here stated most clearly in all of Holy Scripture, the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that name for God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is taught to us here by Jesus himself, is perhaps of all the passages in the Scripture, the clearest confession of of the Holy Trinity. And that clarity has made its way not only into to our baptism, this is the name in which we baptize, but also into the invocation, the beginning of every Christian service, is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Luther gives us this beautiful instruction that when we wake up in the morning, we make the sign of the cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So not only is this name over our children and our friends in baptism, it's over each one of us every single day. As the name that we live under and rejoice in.
The other verse that you want to talk about was 2 Corinthians 13:14. What's there?
Yeah, this is the very end of Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and it's a text that's called the Apostolic Benediction. It's 2 Corinthians 13:14, and it says this: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Now, this is also like the invocation, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This text has also made its way into the liturgical life of the church. There's two blessings that we'll normally use to end our service. And if we have the Lord's Supper, we go back to Numbers chapter 6 and take up the Aaronic benediction, which is also a Trinitarian benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you and so forth. But normally when we have a service that needs a blessing at the end of it but doesn't have the Lord's Supper, so a morning service or a matins or a vespers or something like this, we'll go to this text in 2 Corinthians. And use these words that Paul ended his epistle with. And we see again, just like we have in the previous two passages, that that the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, that all three persons of the Holy Trinity are there mentioned. And they're mentioned for a particular purpose, and this is really quite wonderful, to give us a blessing, so that we realize that that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are for us. I think that might be becoming a Lutheran cliche that we use now, the for you thing, but it's still helpful to meditate on, that God is not standing against us or fighting against us, but that the Father gives himself to us with all of creation, the Son gives himself to us for our redemption, the Holy Spirit gives himself to us for our sanctification, so that all three persons of the Holy Trinity are interested in our blessing, in our life, and in saving us.
With about 30 seconds here, these are three passages, but these are three of the clearest passages we've ever dealt with in this series. Should that surprise us, given that God wants us to know who he actually is?
No. I mean, it's one of the temptations, because this doctrine of the Trinity is what separates the church from not church, from heretical sects and cults. And so there's a lot of people who would deny the doctrine of the Trinity out there and would assert, before they deny it, that the Holy Scriptures are not clear about this. But we wouldn't be surprised, Todd, to see exactly what you have pointed out, that there is no confusion or muddling when it comes to the three persons of the Holy Trinity, that this is where we begin with the mystery of the Holy Trinity and that confession of God's name. That's where it begins. We know who God is, and we know what he does. He saves us. He rescues us, and he delivers us, and he calls us his own, and he puts his name on us when he baptizes us. Wonderful.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
You got it.
Folks, I can assure you that Lutheran theology is thoroughly Trinitarian. It begins with those words of Jesus where he says, "We make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in that name of the triune God." And it runs through everything that Lutherans confess. You can find out more about that in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May. And it'll help you better understand what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess with other doctrines as well. The book's called Being Lutheran. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Pastor Tom Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus blessing the children in Mark chapter 10. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.